This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
You are listening to The Arenality on ORFM.
Kia ora everyone, welcome back to The Arenality, a show on the cultural identities of women in Aotearoa, New Zealand. It is September and I am so happy. The Malaysian is me is so happy that it will hopefully get warmer from here. And I am just really excited for more sun. I think daylight savings is happening or ending. I still don't understand how it works. One of those. Soon, I think end of this month. So I'm very excited about that as well. If you are based in Dunedin, over the weekend, we had the best 2 days of the weekend. We had a lot of sun and I definitely made use of it. I spent a lot of time just being outside in the backyard, just absorbing the sun while it was hot. It was only for a few hours because I do live in the valley, but it was the best time ever. And there's something about vitamin D that I need more of. And I think my doctor, she was saying that a lot of Muslim women in New Zealand are actually lacking vitamin D because they wear the hijab and they're fully covered. We don't get a lot of vitamin D from the sun. So a lot of us actually take supplements to make sure that we are okay in that sense. But I am really happy that I did have some good recharge with the sun rays over the weekend. I do want to talk about what's happening in the space in terms of ORFM, in terms of the Dunedin community. And for you non-Dunedin community listeners here, some of you can actually relate because this is quite nationwide celebrations, but a more Dunedin-centric one, Otago Polyfest, is happening this week. And we are so, so excited because ORFM will actually have a stall at the Polyfest Village. I love Polyfest. I remember celebrating Polyfest when I was in primary school. It was really, really special to be learning the kapa haka and performing in front of my family and friends and being cheered on as well and learning all about the different waiatas, the different karakias as well. But Polyfest here in Dunedin is happening from the 1st to the 5th of September at the Edgar Centre. And like last year, ORFM, we had a stall at the village. If you don't know the concept of the village, it is actually the extended part of the Polyfest. So Polyfest has its performances, but they also have a extension of that where they host different community stalls or organizations. And we are very, very lucky to be part of the village. I love the concept of the village because we were definitely part of the village because we did feel like we were cared for by, you know, the staff members and the volunteers there. So if you are in Otago Polyfest from Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and yeah, especially if you're listening to this on the Tuesday, ORFM will be there from 9 to 3. We are having a stall that is also a mini recording studio, and we are recording memories of people's Polyfest experiences, because Polyfest has been going on for 32 years And so that there is a lot of stories there. One of my favorite stories from last year was actually a grandparent who is watching one of their grandchildren and just reflecting on their, like, watching their watching their daughters perform like years back. So there's a lot of that generational stories that's so important to share. And it's a time when people just come together and they celebrate all of the young people's performances. And it's a chance for the young people as well to learn more and feel proud about what they've learned and the cultures that they're showcasing on the day. So yes, Polyfest is this week. If you are coming, come visit our stall and have a chat with us, and we can definitely talk to you more about your experiences and also your memories. And we like to capture all of that because it is such important stories that needs to be shared. Next week is Papua New Guinea Tok Pisin Language Week, and we are very excited to be celebrating that on air as well. We have had community members who shared their stories and also their experiences about Tok Pisin Language Week in Dunedin. And the week after that is Te Wiki o Te Reo Māori, Māori Language Week. And what's special about this year is it's the 50th, and so it will be a big one. So look out for that as well. And yeah, there's something about September being just back-to-back celebrations, and I think people are just really looking forward to the end of winter and just coming together and celebrate their culture, their community. Speaking of celebrations, my community also had its own celebrations recently. So Malaysia just had our 68th Independence Day on the last day of August, so 31st of August. And this year we celebrated with the community in such a special way, because this year my family and I have a Malaysian food business. And so we got to, you know, just give up free kuih bakar, which is a Malaysian dessert, when people order their nasi lemak. And I think just by participating in that sense, it was fun to acknowledge the celebrations and also have conversations with other community members that about Independence Day, because, you know, most of our customers are not Malaysian. So it's really great to share more about my culture through food and through, connecting with the community. So that was a really interesting one for me to experience this year. And we are also having a celebration with the Otago Malaysian Students Association this weekend. So there will be more celebrations as well. One of the reflections I had about Hari Merdeka, Hari Merdeka means Merdeka means, what does Merdeka mean? Trying to find the direct translation. It means independence. So literally it means Independence Day. So Hari Merdeka, for Malaysians, we, as a child, I just remember celebrating at school. It becomes like a really big thing where we all would have competitions in classes. And it's really fun, because the flag of Malaysia, the colors are red, blue, yellow, and white. And so we would be decorating our class rooms with those colors. We would be decorating our classrooms with flags, different, you know, images or graphics, lots of like Malaysian culture during the month of August. And teachers would usually get very, very competitive because it becomes a competition where the best class would get like an amount of money so that we can have like a party with our classmates. And I think the teachers also get some bonus as well. So that's why it becomes a whole thing. You are lucky if your class teacher, because we get like one designated class teacher each year, you are lucky if you get a class teacher who is also an art teacher or is a teacher who is really creative. And so I remember when I was standard four, which is around 10 years old, my teacher, she was new, so we didn't really know what her creativity or her specialties were. So I think she was trying to like prove herself as well, being new to the school. But she went all out with us. She made us help, paint the wall. She made us put all these decorations up on the ceiling. Each table was wrapped in wrapping paper that had like Malaysian icons. There was also like flags for each table. And mind you, like each classroom, we had like 40 to 50 people. So there was a lot of that. Thinking back now, the classroom was definitely colorful. But as an adult, it might have looked a bit distracting for, you know, studying. But yeah, I think as a child, you know, I think you do work better in chaos. And so that would definitely be better for children's brains. But anyway, I just love celebrating Malaysia's Independence Day as a child because we really made a big thing out of it. We also have Merdeka celebrations at school. So some of our classmates, I think we would have like a celebration at school and then it becomes like a whole day event. So each class would be performing like a choir. So we would be, we would be practicing a specific song that we choose. And I think each class would be getting like different music. And so that was also something that I had fun reflecting on, just the different types of Merdeka songs that we have in Malaysia, because Malaysia is quite a patriotic country. We have a lot of Merdeka songs, just in different artists, pop, like, you know, they make different types of Merdeka music, and it's really, like, it's really catchy, or it's really fun to sing. Some of them, they just have the most beautiful lyrics. And, you know, I wish I can play some music for you today, but I can't. So I'll just tell you some of my favorites. One of my favorite ones from primary school was called Jalo Gemilang. And that's spelled J-A-L-U-R Gemilang, G-E-M-I-L-A-N-G, Jalur Gemilang. So Jalur Gemilang is the name of our flag. It's the name of the song, and I really love that song because it's basically talking about the different types of people that Malaysia created. And it's basically saying, you know, being proud of the achievements that we can have because of our independence. And it's pretty special. And I think It's something that I just really loved singing as a child because it has like one of the best beats as well. And I think you can also find that song on YouTube, Instagram, and whatever. But one of my other favorite ones is Satu Malaysia. Satu Malaysia is actually a more political slogan, but we're not going to talk about that. It's the song Satu Malaysia is beautiful because it's talking about the different races, the different ethnic cultures that exist in Malaysia, and that it's only possible because we have a shared understanding of each other and we have, you know, a shared sense of harmony to be able to live together peacefully and just celebrate each other's differences. So, fun fact, if you don't know, I probably talk about this a lot because I talk about Malaysia a lot. But Malaysia is very, 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 very diverse. And it's not just Malay people. So Malaysia consists of lots of different ethnicities. I come from my Malay background, which is the most dominant. Hate the word dominant because it means, yeah, I just hate the word dominant. Let's say it has the most highest percentage of people there. Then we have our Chinese Malaysians who came to Malaysia to work while the British occupied us. So they brought people from China to Malaysia to work in lots of different jobs, but mostly in mining. And during that time, the British also brought people from India. So we do have our Malaysian Indian Fano. And they came to work at the Kelapa Sawit, which is palm? No. The rubber tree plantation. And yeah, so like tapping for the rubber to come out of the tree. I'm really bad explaining here because my sejarah books, my history books were all in Malay. But that is basically how Malaysia became diverse through colonization. But, you know, that was 68 years ago. We've had lots of generations of Malaysians then. Now, we're all Malaysians. So that is how it came into place. Besides the three bigger groups, Malaysia, Malay, Indians and Chinese, we also have other smaller groups. We have lots of people from Sabah and Sarawak who may come from more indigenous backgrounds. Kadazan, Iban, or in the Semenanjung, we also have the indigenous peoples of Malaysia, which is Orang Asli. And so, we also have like smaller groups like Thai, Siam, Serani, because being the middle of Southeast Asia, well, I think it is the middle of Southeast Asia, it is the heart of it. We have a lot of different types of people who came in over the years for trade. And so that's how we became very diverse. That's how Islam came into place as well, because there were trades from Arabic countries during that time that came and met with our sultans in Malacca. So I'm really using my very lack of history knowledge that I learned in high school here. So please forgive me if it's not like 100% correct. But this is what we learned in high school. So if you do want to learn more about Malaysian culture and history in like really detailed, there are definitely books, and like Google is really helpful for that as well. One of the things I miss about being away from Malaysia this year is I just miss the parade. We usually have a parade on the day of Merdeka, and they have it in different states. And a lot of people would come and just be part of that. So imagine like different community groups, different organizations, like, you know, the police would be there, the firemen, the ASKA, the military service people. So there's a lot of those showcases of people who are taking care of our country, and they get to meet normal people like us, you know, the community members. And I think it's really special when we do get to meet people who are doing, you know, really exciting work and taking care of the country in that sense. And I really miss all of that. It's all on, you know, it's all live streamed and everything, but it's just not the same when you're not there in the crowds. One other things I missed about school, celebrating Merdeka during school, is they would do fashion show. They would do a fashion show with like a few selected, you know, usually the best students. They would choose like the best students, and usually the pretty ones, because it is a fashion show. They would have them wear something that just symbolizes Malaysia, and that can be like wearing batik or wearing baju kurung with like the Malaysian flag or the Malaysian flag colors. And because Malaysia has four colors in its flag, it gets really colorful and it's beautiful. And people would just be so excited for that. And, you know, the younger they are, the cuter they are. So it just becomes a whole thing. And yeah, I just miss being part of that community. And I don't think I can experience it now anyway, because I'm an adult. But I have been looking at my cousins, their photos, because I do have very, very young cousins, and they are enjoying school. And I'm glad that it's a tradition that people are still doing in Malaysia, because I think it's really important for children to feel excited about Independence Day, because it just makes them feel proud of their country. Something I was really surprised about is, you know how we have our national songs? So New Zealand, you've got your God Defend New Zealand, and also the Maori version. For Malaysia, we have our Negara Ku, which is basically the national anthem. We sing that every week or every, sometimes almost every day at school for assemblies. And I realized that here, you guys don't do that. And I was surprised by that. It was like one of my culture shocks as well, because I really loved the New Zealand's national anthem. I want to sing it a lot more, but the last time I got to sing it was during the All Blacks game, so that was really fun. So I hope that you have a wonderful start of September. There is definitely a lot happening, and hopefully, you know, the weather will be great and you are excited for the future. So I will see you again next time. Pakite!
You've been listening to The Arenality on RFM.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.